further introduction, these men will come in this order to guide us in preparation for the Crusade of the Americas. There is no such thing as mass evangelism. There is only personal evangelism. People individually receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of life. It is not something which can be done in great groups, but one by one. For this reason, the Crusade of the Americas in Texas will emphasize for 4 weeks one by one involvement beyond the walls of the church, and then 1 week within the church walls. I think God is going to test us during these next 2 years. We have two options. Stay inside the walls of our church and play Christianity and die, or face up to the fact that there is a Damaris and a Dionysus in your area on your Mars Hill waiting for us to go to him where he is and tell him about Jesus Christ. If we do that, we will live. But if we continue to shelter the gospel inside the buildings that we possess, we are going to die, and we have no alternative but to move beyond. In order that this may be done, the Evangelism Division will produce at the end of this week a manual 80 pages in length entitled Witness, Take the Stand. We are publishing it ourselves, so this 80-page book, beautifully illustrated, can be purchased for a dime a copy. And we are trusting that for the next 2 years, this will be the piece used in your church to train people to sow and cultivate and harvest. I think our folks are confused by programs of personal evangelism that are not coordinated. And they no sooner get over studying one booklet or manual than we give them something else from a little different approach. And it's a mass confusion. Witness Take the Stand is a Crusade of the Americas piece. And as we go into this period of outreach for 4 weeks during the Crusade of the Americas, we will use this as the heart of our study. There is a folder available here, if you have not already received one through the mail, which will summarize the things that our staff will share with you. But during weeks 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, we will be involving Baptist people with non-believers outside the walls of the church. During week 7 of the Crusade of the Americas, personal evangelism institutes will be held across the state. And in this 7th week, in mass groups of associational meetings, we will give 6 hours of training in personal evangelism, with special emphasis being given each night to the Sunday school teachers of your church. And then following this training, which is to include juniors and intermediates as well as adults, we will move into the church itself. And a special Sunday school lesson will carry the impact of the Personal Evangelism Institute to those who are only marginally interested in serving Christ in your Sunday school classes. The teacher will teach this lesson, and in it is a portion in which the pupil fills out the record of his own conversion experience. And we train him in the class to share his testimony and his witness. Every member of every Sunday school class, junior through adult, should be assigned at this point the names of 2 lost people. And then we enter into weeks 8, 9, 10, and 11. During week 8, after that Sunday school training, each person in each class will be asked to cultivate a lost person, to become involved with them, to make a friend of them. And week 8 is basically a week when we begin to link life to life. On whatever level a person is living, we go to him at that level and endeavor to present a person who lives within us by our personal witness. During week 9, we will have under God the most profound acclimatizing of Texas that has occurred in this past quarter century. It is our plan to place at every door we can in Texas a special edition of the Gospel of John being prepared for us by the American Bible Society. They're going to cut the price of this beautiful edition down to 4 cents a copy. It is taken from the New English Version, the New Testament, and we'll make this available to the churches for 4 pennies a copy. And we will then go from door to door to door in the homes and apartments of Texas to give a personal testimony of what Christ has done in us and give them 21 chapters of the world's best-selling book, the Bible. The climatizing of the community with this is something that is just astounding. This past year, through the Evangelism Division and Counter Crusades, 500,000 copies of this have been distributed. This year in California alone, 1.5 million copies will be distributed. Following this week of climatizing, week 10 will be an involvement in the continuation of both cultivating and climatizing your church field. And then week 11, the week before we go into the local church, we will begin to sit down with lost men and lost women and lost youngsters and present the plan of salvation and show them how one goes about becoming a Christian. After this, we will go into the local church building and there present the invitation for those who are ready to commit their lives to Jesus Christ to make such public decision. But those decisions have not and will not be made in great numbers in church buildings. This is a program to say to everyone, Jesus is Lord, not just in Galilee 2,000 years ago, but in my heart and life today, Jesus is Lord. I was a beggar, and when I had no bread, He fed me. That which He has done for me, He can do for you. And I have come as one hungry beggar to another to tell you where to find bread.
Many of you received a copy of this promotional item when you came into the building. If you are a pastor and did not receive one, I wonder if you'd lift your hand. I believe the ushers have been alerted to the fact that additional copies will need to be distributed. And if you, gentlemen who are the ushers, if you will get them to these men, I see some ushers with the items in hand. This is not the program of the conference, but it is the Crusade of the Americas publicity piece. Where are our ushers? I see only one gentleman with these. It might help if we could get some volunteers. Could some of you gentlemen over here, I know there are some available there, and we would like to distribute them, and we'd like for you to receive a copy. If your arm doesn't wear out, just leave it up there. We'll try to get you a copy of this while I'm talking. The reason for that being that on the back of the item, there is a card that we're going to ask you to fill out if you're prepared to do so. Many of you have already presented the plans of the Crusade of the Americas. You have solicited the support of your church, and you know that you plan to participate and to be involved in the project. And in a little while, after you have received this copy, if you are prepared to fill that out and give us the information, we're going to pass the offering plates for one of the most painless offerings ever conducted among Baptists and just ask you to put this card in. Now, we're not interested in this simply as a promotional feature, but there will be additional information and publicity data coming from the Home Mission Board that we will want to forward to those churches that are actively cooperating. Accordingly, we do need a mailing list. We do need the names of the churches and the associations that will be involved in this. Now, if you cannot give us this information in the affirmative, you think your church is planning to be involved in it, then, of course, it'll be perfectly in order for you to take it back to your church. And after action has been initiated, we would appreciate your sending the card. You don't even have to put a stamp on it. We'll take care of the postage if you will just send it to our office, please. Now, let me say just a word while these are being distributed and before we pass the plates concerning Encounter and the Crusade of the Americas. Those of you who are familiar with some of the program features of Encounter will observe the fact, as you read over the countdown schedule in the Crusade folder, that there are some items from the Encounter concept that are being incorporated into the Crusade of the Americas format. However, let me say this. Encounter and the Crusade of the Americas are two different items. They are not one and the same. In some regions of the state, there will be cities and associations who will be using the encounter approach as their involvement in the Crusade of the Americas, but they are not automatically synonymous and the same. Let me say it again. The encounter crusade and your participation and involvement in the Crusade of the Americas are two different things. Now, I will not belabor the time by trying to explain some of the differences. If you will look at it, I think you will see that there are some items missing from the Crusade of the Americas suggested countdown that are involved in the encounter implementation. Conversely, there are some unique items that are programmed into the Crusade of the Americas. If you have not already studied this, I hope you will. There may be some questions. There may be some gaps in the presentation. Additional information, as it is made available to us, will be distributed to you. But I hope you will examine these things, particularly related to church and associational action that need to be taken immediately. Some have already taken these actions. We're grateful for that. But if your association and if your church have not, I hope you will study it, and I hope you will consult with your associational evangelism chairman and our moderator and our missionary, and you will take these actions as quickly as is convenient and possible. Now then, did everyone receive one of the folders? Who needs one? Just a moment while the other members of the staff come to speak, we'll ask the gentleman to pass the offering plates, and we would appreciate your dropping this in the plate for us, that we might have a record, that we might know, and thereby to keep you alert to the developments as they materialize and as they crystallize in the future. Now, let me say this. I wish I could tell you that the features in this are foolproof. I would like to say that, but then I remember what fools we mortals be. I'm convinced of this, however, with all of its flaws and its imperfections. The Crusade of the Americas potentially represents one of two extremes in my judgment. It could be a great, massive program on paper. And 6 weeks after it's over, no one will even know what we're talking about. It conceivably could be, even crudely constructed, it could be the altar upon which the fire of God could fall in our day. I'm convinced of one thing, however. While program and organization are not the answer to the spiritual needs of our hour, I'm also convinced that God's Spirit is not going to come in a great revival in our generation on something that is haphazard and ill-planned. He's going to move into a situation where the people of God are trying to plan something as massive and as gigantic as they know, anticipating that only the blessings of God can make it a reality. So, in your area, if you are using Encounter, the members of our staff will be working in close cooperation with you. If you are not working in Encounter, this is a procedure that we believe can be implemented at both the associational and the local church level, and we trust and we pray to God that it will be a channel through which He shall pour His Spirit of grace upon us in these critical days. Now, gentlemen, if you have the offering plates, if you'll pass them, pastors, you don't even have to put a $5 bill attached to it. If you'll just drop the card in the plate when it's passed your way, we will appreciate your cooperation. Thank you.
Dr. McLaughlin, permit me just a brief announcement. All of you men who are planning to go to California for the Encounter California Crusade this spring, you would be glad to know, I'm sure, that Dr. Gene Grubbs is over in the Grace Parlor across the street in the other building, and you may make an appointment with him and get him to answer any question that you would like to have him answer for you. Now, this is very important. All of you fine men who are going to sing in the Central Crusade, and you preachers who are preaching in the Central Crusade, that's the first week, I must have a glossy print and some biographical information about yourself, not later than January 24. This must be a deadline. We pushed it back once or twice, but we cannot push the deadline back any further. Please get it to me as soon as you can. All right. Just for a moment or two now, let me call your attention to the simultaneous revivals and the crusade. Brother Ralph Neighbor, Dr. Ferris have presented this to you. You are cognizant of it. Now let me say to you that we must have this harvest revival if we are to win and to reach the souls that our Lord holds us accountable for. When I first became a member of this staff, I heard Brother Jimmy Morgan in Tarrant County. It was the first meeting that I made after becoming a member of this staff. He gave us a record, a graph, of the baptisms of some 10 or 15 years back in Tarrant County. In each place, he began to point out how that in the years that they were engaged in simultaneous revivals, the baptismal record was up. We discussed this in our institute back in November with several of the associational chairmen over our state. We had testimony regarding this yesterday, and in each instance, we were told that in these places where we had the simultaneous revival following the encounter crusade, baptisms were up and are continuing to go. This tells me something, and I believe that if we'll just give our very best to this glorious plan, God is going to bless it. I think this is certainly the need of our day. We would all agree at this point. You know, I remember some time ago, reminiscing a little bit, we used to talk about the 30s as the thrifty 30s, Brother Fred. And then we spoke of the 40s as being the forceful 40s. And then we turned our attention to the 50s as the fretful 50s. And then we said we're looking forward to the decade of the 60s, and we shall call it the sensible 60s. I'm afraid our hindsight is far better than our foresight. Will you think for a minute about our sensible 60s, as we called it in the year 1959? I think it is characterized by demonstrations, by revolutions, by sit-ins, by the psychedelic movement, and all of this. And if there ever was a day when we need revival, it's today. We have an affluent society. We have the finest educational systems in some phases as the world is ever known, and yet our world continues to go deeper, deeper in degradation and sin. And I do not know of anything in the world that's going to change this and alter this course but to see revival come to our great state of Texas. And let me say this to you. I believe if we'll just quit playing church, playing Christianity, as Ralph said, I believe there are enough men right here this morning that can do something about this situation. But we're playing church. We, you know, we have our little nicey-niceys, and we are a little bit afraid to get out there where the people are. We remind me somewhat of the young mother with her first baby. And I remember that. It takes a good while back, but I remember our first one. But this young mother was so meticulous with that little baby. She had a wonderful little nursery all glassed in. She herself did not go in, nor anyone else would go in, without a mask over their face and all of that. Long about the time the baby was 4 or 5 months old, one morning across the breakfast table, she said to her husband, she said, "Oh, honey, I believe our little Alexandra is cutting a tooth. I got to find out somehow." This old boy, looking over at his precious little wife, said, "Well, honey, my mother used to just put her finger in the baby's mouth." And she saw the terrible expression. He saw the terrible expression on his wife's face. But she said, he said, "But she always boiled it first." Well, under God in heaven, I'm not sure we have enough time to always boil it. I think we're going to have to get out there, and we're going to have revivals And we've suggested to you three dates. In 1969, you have your revival in the date you want to have it. I learned a long time ago not to try to tell Baptists when and what to do. Just ask them to try to do something. Zone 1, March 23 through 30. Zone 2, April 13 through 20. Zone 3, May 4, 11. And if this doesn't suit you, you work out your zone. But here's what I want to see you do. Let me look around. There's nobody here but us, is there? I believe with all my soul. Get this, Pastor. Now, if you get mad at me, go home, pray about it. If it'll help you do a better job for God, as much as I love you, I wouldn't mind you being mad at me. If you want to, you can lead your church to participate in a simultaneous revival. If you want to, you can lead your church to have two revivals every year that you pastor that church. And that ought to be a minimum. That ought to be a minimum. Two revivals in your church. I found out back there when I was the pastor, and if I could do it, anyone could do it. I could always lead my church to do just about what was right. But you know, I had to get my own heart in the thing first of all. Isn't that right? Now, let's just tell God, if He'll give us a little time, we'll do the best job we know how. We sing and lift it up with great exuberance. Oh, in the sweet by and by. But we'd better be concerned about the nasty now and now and go out there and win people to Jesus in these revivals.
Thank you, Brother Richardson. Now, I think our plate situation didn't pan out. Will you do this? Thank you. Will you do this? From your right to your left, pass the cards in, please. And the ushers, please walk down the aisles and pick them up. From your right to your left, please. And we will take care of this. About 13 years ago, they put me on the program right between the big ones. And Fred Thwank was one of them. I noticed they did it again. I don't know whether this means they want me to salvage him or him to salvage me. I don't know what it is. But we're going to hear a good message in just a little while. If you'll take your Crusade of the Americas folder and put your thumb to where it says Crusade Opportunities, it'll open to several different types of opportunities. One of them, the one I am particularly interested in right at this very moment, is Latin American ministries. There are 8 different suggestions at that point. Mind you, that is in addition to the regular countdown. I have longed for the time when we did not have to say the Latin Americans are going to do this and the Anglos are going to do the other. And I think we've just about hit upon that time. And Latin Americans are going to do everything the Anglos are going to do and then some. And so, the fact that they're here today is proof of that. They are interested in going all of the way. And so, countdown, everything that has been said applies to the Latins also. You remember the Me Too Chile business. But then there are 8 different suggestions that I present to you. Number 1 is special area campaigns in Spanish. The way it looks, we're going to have at least 20, maybe 25 central revivals, either during the Crusade of the Americas period or in the summer and the fall of 1969. We're hopeful to have area evangelism rallies in Spanish, though many of our workers, church people, will be attending the conferences, the area conferences in the English language. We feel that it is imperative that we have some of these area rallies in the Spanish language, in strategic locations. That we will do, and hope you will undergird this program. We will have special luncheons for Latin American men or women with personal invitations coming from Anglo laymen or women. In other words, Anglo churches should look into the possibility of scheduling a luncheon, especially where you have businessmen, businesswomen of Spanish descent and background, and have a luncheon where you invite them to come and be your guests and have a program geared to reach them. We did it in Crystal City, much to my amazement. About 75% of the attendants were unchurched, unsaved Latin American leaders in the community. And it was our first opportunity to give them the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine what would happen if this were repeated over and over again everywhere where we have Latin Americans in our state. Special efforts to reach English-speaking Latins through Anglo churches is very, very vital. Ladies and gentlemen, we will not be able to reach, during the Crusade of the Americas or any other crusade for that matter, we will not be able to reach the countless thousands of lost Latin Americans in the state through our Spanish-speaking congregations. Now mind you, we'll do the best we can. And right now we have a record of about 1 for every 10 members in our Spanish congregations. I'd like to see the Anglos match that. But listen, if you really want to bring your average down, your ratio down, the best way to do it is to go out to where the Latin Americans are. Their hearts are ready for the gospel, and if you really want additions to the church for no other reason than just to have big numbers, you'd be right in doing this. But we have a higher motive than that, and you and I know it. We've heard it preached. It's going to continue to be preached. But my soul, if we really want to reach Texas for Christ, the greatest opportunity for evangelism this day is among our 2.5 million Latin Americans right here in the state. So try to reach them through the Anglo church. Don't expect the Latin American mission to do it all. It'll be impossible for them to do it. Besides, 75% of our people had rather hear you preach in English than me in Spanish. Now, my Spanish is bad, I agree. They'd rather hear you preach in English than hear a Latin American preach in Spanish. This generally is the truth. Then the use of translation equipment is important. Use of special Spanish gospels and other literature. Anglo teams conducting revivals in Spanish, in Spanish churches and missions, rather. Now, this worked well in the 64 Crusade, Cruzada Nueva Vida, and we hope that you'll do it again this year, next year. And then Mission Point revivals before and or after the schedule for your zone revivals. This is important. One of the dangers of preparing for such a massive program as the Crusade of the Americas in 69 is that we will want to leave off some things in 68 that ought to get done. And we had held back some of the promotion of the Crusade of the Americas because of that. We have other things in 68 too. And we don't want to stop while we prepare for a crusade 2 years hence. And so we have other programs in the mill. Let me give you just one of them as rapidly as I know how. In San Antonio, July 21 through 24, I want you to put this down and pray very much. For we are going to have in these 4 days one of the greatest meetings that Latin Americans have ever held. It is going to be our first Evangelism Congress, we're calling it. Spanish Evangelism Congress. It's going to be for all Latin Americans in the state. Pastors have written in saying we have reserved the days. One of the greatest meetings that Latin Americans have ever held. It is going to be our first Evangelism Congress, we're calling it. Spanish Evangelism Congress. It's going to be for all Latin Americans in the state. Pastors have written in saying we have reserved the date. We're going to be there. The Home Mission Board of our convention found out about this. As they said, we want all of our pastors from throughout the Southern Baptist Convention to come to that conference. And so they're making some funds available for these men from outside of the state of Texas. So it has become a national evangelism congress. We feel that some of the brethren from across the border are going to be in attendance. It's going to become an international evangelism congress. Dr. Rubens Lopez, father of the Crusade of the Americas, is to be one of the speakers. Brother Fernando Bangioni, one of the associates of the Billy Graham Association, is going to be another one of our speakers. Leobardo Estrada from New York, our own Carlos Paredes, and Dr. Jose Rivas, and other outstanding Spanish speakers are going to be with us during our Congress. On the Sunday night, the 21st, we're going to try to put together for the first time a 1,000-voice choir. We have already reserved the location at Breckenridge Park Amphitheater. We're hopeful that someone will find the funds to televise an hour-long program from the amphitheater in Breckenridge Park. There will be visitors at Hemisphere coming from Latin America. They will not be the peons. They will not be the people with whom we work in the main. I think we read that passage right, Dr. Akengay, a while ago, when it says minister to the poor, because our ministry has been geared in the main to them, at the exclusion of the higher-ups. You know, we have the down and outs, the up and outs, and we also have the in and outs among our people, the ones that are in and then get out. There are some of them migrant. And we've taken it like it, we think the Bible intended it, but we have missed some of the higher-ups. But at Hemisphere 68, the people that will be coming from Latin America in particular are going to be those that can pay the fare, those that can spend the time away from their work and their families. They're going to come, and we're going to have opportunity to witness to them. And by telecasting this 1,000-voice choir, they're going to find out that Baptists are not just a small mission across a railroad track or across the concrete ribbon separating them from the Anglo community, but that the Latin American Baptists are a strong, forceful unit for God. We want to give this witness, and we're asking them to stay over the next day. For on the 22nd in the morning, we're going to have 2 hours of a training program, an equipment program. We hope to distribute 100,000 portions of the Gospel of John. We hope to train the personal witness to go inside Hemisphere and give the portion of John as a memento of their visit to Hemisphere, and then accompany that with a personal witness and how in that little book is contained the story of how I found true happiness. And perhaps there is the secret for your success also. And if we get any kind of information that is favorable, we're going to record it. We're going to ship it immediately, mail it down to Latin America, so that by the time these people get back home already, they will have the information. There'll be a knock at their door saying, "Sir, we understand you have received the little booklet. Let me tell you about it." So this is the greatest opportunity we have had of doing foreign mission work right here at home. The Lord is providing it through Hemisphere 1968. All day long we will invest in this kind of program. 1,000 people giving 10 copies out, that'll be 10,000. If we're able to give 100 out, 100,000 copies could go out in just a week's time or so. Then that night we begin our Congress on the 22nd at night, and on through Wednesday at noon. And then on Wednesday night, we're hoping to have local revivals in at least 50 locations in the city of San Antonio. Preachers will pay their own way. If your pastor or your Spanish pastor is asked to come, I hope that you will provide his way. In fact, I hope you'll provide it for the Congress anyway. Help him to come, just like you get to come to the evangelism conference and your church pays your way. You pay your way for your Spanish workers to go to the evangelism congress in San Antonio. The idea is to prepare them for the Crusade of the Americas in 69. And for a week, Wednesday through Wednesday, we will be in local church revivals. On Sunday night, in between, we'll go to La Villita Assembly Hall. Dr. Mangione will be the preacher. Brother Pete Nunez will do the singing. A mass choir will sing, hoping to make an impact in Hemisphere with the program at La Villita. And then we go back to the church. And on Wednesday night, another televised service coordinating the local church meetings. And in this, we trust that we will be able to reach people that, because of the unusual approach, they will come into the churches where the TV sets are there, and they'll be observing this program, and at the close, an invitation will be extended for them to accept Christ. Then we will go back to La Villita for 4 final nights of an evangelistic thrust. It has local implications, it has statewide implications, it has national implications, but it has international implications as well. And by the time 1969 comes around, and the Crusade of the Americas knocks at our door, we will have already been in revival. And I do earnestly believe it. If I didn't believe it, I'd quit what I'm doing right now. I earnestly believe that the greatest opportunity for evangelism in the state of Texas and in the Western Hemisphere today is the ministry among the Latin Americans. Their hearts are ready, whether it be here or in Latin America. Let's do it now. Tomorrow is going to be too late.
Now I'm going to present the last speaker now. And following presentation of these marvelous choirs from the First Baptist Church of our city, he will bring the closing message of the hour. I'd like for Dr. Cawthon to come to the platform, yes. There is no man in Southern Baptist life that carries a greater responsibility than Dr. Baker James Cawthon. He's so closely and vitally related to our world ministry. Perhaps many of us do not pray for him as much as we ought. His responsibilities are even heavier in the light of the tense international situation. As I'm sure the most of you know, he is from Texas. He's a man with a great compassionate heart. Baker, you may not even recall this incident, but I shall never forget it. You and I were standing together in Waseda University Auditorium in Tokyo, Japan in 1963 for the first service that was to be held in connection with the New Life Movement. And as we stood there and watched those hundreds of Japanese come into that hall, you turned to me and said that this thing can happen around the world. And when I return to Richmond, I'm going to recommend a man for evangelism and church development. And that was done. And in these succeeding years, we have witnessed great movements of the Holy Spirit. They tell us, in spite of all the hindrances, that Indonesia is experiencing revival. It's happened in Africa, in South America. Please understand that evangelism and church development are not the only responsibilities of the Foreign Mission Board. This constitutes a very vital part of the work. We're glad we have a man as Executive Secretary of the Foreign Mission Board who has a heart of compassion for the whole world. And we'll listen to him with open hearts and minds as he shall speak to us in a few moments. We're glad to welcome him back to Texas.
Dr. Patterson, Dr. Freeman, and friends, what a joy it brings me whenever there is a call to come back to Texas. As you so graciously, over and again, across the years, have given me the privilege of coming to this state that is my state, a state that I love so very, very much, and here again feel the great warmth, the throbbing concern and the impulse of evangelism that is in this state. I'm wondering tonight if your mind goes back, as mine does, to when these conferences on evangelism began. I was a pastor in Fort Worth and a teacher in Southwestern Seminary, and L.R. Scarborough and C. Matthews and some others began to be concerned about quickening the tempo for evangelism. And some in this audience tonight were there in those days when there came prayer meetings and the gathering of Texas Baptist preachers together, and a discovery was made that something was real in those meetings, and from it spread all across Southern Baptist life. So that now the annual conferences on evangelism stand out as having unusual significance to all of us. How glad I am because of the Texas members of the Foreign Mission Board. I'm sure all of you know the president of the Foreign Mission Board is a Texan, Dr. Morris Ford, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Longview, Texas, the first Texan ever to serve as a Foreign Mission Board's president. Your own beloved state executive secretary served with us his full 6 years and then rotated off the board. Your secretary of evangelism is now one of our honored and beloved members. And the husband of Mrs. C.J. Humphrey, who spoke so so winningly a moment ago. C.J. is a member of the Foreign Mission Board and a member of its administrative committee. And on I can go through the membership of the Texas Baptist members of that board. How grateful we are for what you mean to us. And how grateful we are every time I pick up the financial report and look at what you do through the cooperative program. And what you do through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Somehow my heart just glows with gratitude and joy and appreciation for this great and beloved state. But I wish you could sit where I sit and hear the men and the women who come across the platform of our mission board and give their testimony of God's calling to cross the world in the Lord's name and tell the story. There were 222 of them in 1967 that walked before us like that. And so many of them came to say, we came from Texas. And they told us of God's calling. And when you think about the men and the women who labor with us, and your gifts of money, and your gifts of personnel who come and they follow Christ across the world, and your prayers raised heavenward for this labor in the Master's name, you can see why I love to come back to the state I love and come back to the people I love and come back and say afresh, thank you for what you're doing in the name of Jesus around the world. Now tonight, I'm asked to say a word to you about the urgency of the crusade. Would you like to stand up a moment while I read the scripture? The 71st Psalm, 2 verses. My mouth will tell of thy righteous acts, of thy deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will praise thy righteousness, thine alone. Thank you, and you'll be seated. The psalmist said, I will tell of thy righteous acts, of thy deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. And today, as we face a broken world, every man of us who stands to preach the gospel, and every layman of us who goes out to bear his witness, as Brother Owen Cooper has so ably stated tonight, goes out to say our main task in this broken world is to tell of God's deed of redemption. How he so loved that he gave, and one came and he died on a cross and arose from the dead. And to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone that believes in his name receives forgiveness of sins. And this is our task. In the Master's name, commissioned to us to cross this world and say to all mankind, remission of sins is available through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Our business is to tell the story. And indeed, as we come in this time of the Great Crusade, we do well to think how urgent, how pressing, how important is this particular opportunity to tell this story of Christ and his love. Why is this crusade of the Americas so urgent? In the very first place, it is urgent because of how it came to be. I'm sure most of us in the building are aware of it. How that God has used for a number of years his servants to tell the story of salvation in Brazil and Latin America. It was just a little more than 80 years ago that went a Texan and his wife down to Brazil. And there they began a little church with 5 members. Oh, it was a struggle indeed. And there were discouraging and difficult times. And there may have been some who wondered if they could make a go of such a great enterprise in such a great land amid such great obstacles. But God was in it. And across that land of Brazil, the gospel began to move. Until presently, the fires were burning, and the churches were witnessing, and their home mission board in Brazil began to send out their own missionaries to penetrate the jungles and tell the story of Jesus up and down that land. And God did a great work in Brazil and through Latin America. And many in this audience will remember how for the last 17 years, across the world in various places, there have been testings of evangelism in a larger measure in many, many countries. The very first testing came in the year 1950 in a preaching mission to Japan, and there were 4 of us who shared in that undertaking. And as we went there and shared in it, we discovered something of what God was doing in post-war Japan. But the great thing came, as was so ably stated here tonight by Mrs. Humphrey in her address, how in 1963, the fires of evangelism in Japan and the Far East flamed to a new height in the wonderful revival that we call the New Life Movement. How that burden did rest upon the heart of Texas Baptist people. And how far-reaching were your efforts. And how glorious were the consequences of it all. We broke into new, larger dimensions as we saw what God did in the Orient in the year 1963. And some of those sparks of that great flaming revival came down into Latin America. And there was an open heart, the heart of a man who's a pastor of a great church in a great city. And his name is Rubens Lopez. He was the president of the Brazilian Baptist Convention. And his heart began to burn as he saw his own nation, and he realized how nearly they had come into slipping into the grip of communist power. And he said to his brethren, "Oh, brethren, let's challenge our nation with a nationwide crusade for Christ." And the Baptists of Brazil said, "We shall do it." And then Rubens Lopez felt called of God to go to the highest places of authority and tell them what they were about to do. He sought and obtained an audience with the nation's president, General Branco. And there he went to see him. And sitting across from this military man who had saved Brazil from falling into the hands of the communists, the Baptist preacher said, "Mr. President, you have led a military revolution. You have saved our country from falling into the grip of the communists. And we thank you, and we are indebted to you." But said he, "Sir, we who love Jesus are longing for a spiritual revolution. A revolution that will change men inside. That will make men love the truth in place of the false. The right in place of the wrong. That love will replace selfishness and hatred and greed." And on he talked about a spiritual revolution. And while he talked, he looked into the face of the president, and there came tears down his cheeks. And then the president said to him, "Sir, you have spoken words of meaning and of deep significance, and I greatly appreciate to hear them. But," he said, "I want you to speak to a combined meeting of both houses of the Brazilian Congress." And a meeting was so arranged, And Rubens Lopez stood there and spoke to the combined houses of the Brazilian Congress and told them and called them to a spiritual revolution. And then he went to every governor of every state in Brazil and there poured out his heart in the same way for a spiritual revolution in Brazil. And God moved in it until presently it became a great national movement, until presently the fires began to burn. And I shall never forget, as I went down there to share in the launching of the crusade, and I sat there on the platform and saw what God was doing, my heart said, Rubens Lopez must come to Dallas, Texas, and on foreign mission night, tell Southern Baptists what God is doing. And in this very building, many of you heard him. Rubens Lopez stood here on foreign mission night and challenged Southern Baptists to join in a crusade of the Americas. And Southern Baptists said, we will do it. And the crusade was born. Oh, Texas Baptists, Southern Baptists, called a many a revival. But you've never faced a summons like this before. When down in Latin America, the mission fields, served by our sons and daughters, and blessed of God's Holy Spirit, and made to abound, and now they arise and say to us, come now, let's challenge the Western Hemisphere with a crusade of the Americas. This is a time for every Baptist to say, as never before, we link hands from north to the south, that this whole hemisphere may know it's urgent because of how it came to be. But it's urgent because of the needs that walk out before us, and we dare not overlook them. Just look in Latin America. It's on our hands. The fastest growing population in the world is Latin America. 20 years from now, there'll be twice as many of them as there are right now. And when you think about them, all these millions of people, and everyone precious in the sight of God, and everyone having his quota of personal need and load of sin and guilt and needing liberation from Jesus. Our hearts say, these are our closest neighbors. And then when you look a little bit more intensely upon the situation, you look there and see the grinding problems that are before them. That poverty situation. Oh, there's wealth in Latin America, but the wealth is in the hands of a very tiny minority. And the vast millions of Latin America live in a degree of poverty that is hard to describe. And you go and see the great cities, beautiful indeed, but look a second time and see the throngs of people living in their slums and their hovels, what they call their favelas, as they've come in from the countryside, poor and needy and broken. And as you look upon them in their poverty and see them in their illiteracy, you cannot overlook a question. The question is, can freedom survive in Latin America? Double that population, multiply those problems, accentuate the feelings between the people who have and have not. And the question is, can Latin America survive free? How many more Cubas could be spawned in Latin America by some mishandling or by some mischance? Oh, if we love the cause of freedom in the world, let us take the truth that makes men free and share it with the rich and the poor in all the lands of Latin America,
For a little while later, we shall say, O Lord, how we wish we had done so when the doors were opened and the barriers were so small that we go and we preach and the people hear and the lost can be saved. But not only Latin America. I would have hastened to say our own great and beloved country presents us with solemn problems that call us to revival. Is it not true that right now up and down the land of America that the forces of security are getting ready for the dangerous days of this coming summer? For who knows whose city will be engulfed in another Detroit? Last summer, when we had a meeting here of the Crusade of the Americas Committee, a newsman asked Rubens Lopez, why do you need a crusade like that in America? And Rubens Lopez answered one word, Detroit. Yes, it may be Detroit. It might be Richmond, Virginia. It might be Dallas, Texas. It might be Atlanta, Georgia. It might be any city in America you can name. But my dear beloved friends, if we believe the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, we don't need to stand by and watch America burn. We can tell people how Christ can make us love one another. You can tell it more eloquently and better than I. What shall we say about our sagging morality? Our sad picture of home life breaking to pieces? What shall we say about the multitudes of people adrift and lost their directions? And now they wonder if there is anything they can believe and is there any word upon which they can rely? Oh, America, America, if ever in our history we stood at a time when revival is timely, it's this year of 1968 and the year of 1969. Why is this crusade urgent? It's urgent because it calls us to daring new efforts to witness for Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you some things I've seen and about which I know. Down in Latin America, they've discovered something. They've discovered in these great crusades what it does for a great city like São Paulo, Brazil, a city of 4 million people, a city with towering skyscrapers, a city of beauty. To say to that city, come and hear about Jesus. And twice they have assembled in São Paulo, Brazil, great gatherings in their large athletic stadium. Once a crowd of more than 40,000 people gathered to hear of Jesus. Second, a crowd of 60,000 people gathered to hear about Jesus. And I saw with my own eyes in Rio de Janeiro, the Baptists of that city, as they marched down the streets of that city of 3 million people, a great parade of Baptists with the crowds of people thronging by to cheer them and to welcome them, and the airplanes flying above distributing tracts about the great rally day on the Mara. And I saw them stand in a great plaza, thousands of them, to hear the message preached. And I saw them on a Sunday afternoon in the world's largest stadium called the Maracanã. 150,000 people assembled. And there they sat. And they sat through the pouring rain to hear the preacher preach Christ, their only hope. Listen, Baptists. How many times have we ever assembled a crowd in the United States of 150,000 people to hear about Jesus? They were ahead of us in Latin America at that point. But I would say it's a wonderful, thrilling thing if we believe in going where the people are, in place of being just broken-hearted because they pass us by and do not even listen. What a glorious thing somehow when you launch this kind of crusade to set your heart and your planning around the idea of presenting in your area, in your community, in your city, the largest mass demonstration of preaching the gospel of Jesus since ever the sun did shine upon this land. I've been thrilled recently in the reports coming to us from Atlanta, Georgia, how they distributed in Atlanta 1 million copies of this simple and attractive and charming translation of the Bible called Good News for Modern Man, the New Testament. 1 million copies of it. I dare say there are people who have had it in their hands who haven't touched the Bible in years and years. Oh, in this time of the crusade of the Americas, it's a call to us to break out of the commonplace and the routine and the ordinary and the thing that's grown too accustomed anymore to get hold of people and get out where the people are. If they won't come to us, let's go to them and share Christ with them now. If there's anything that the 20th century is telling us all over again, it's this. A beautiful, comfortable, well-apportioned building will not win this world to Christ. I stood some months ago looking upon a gray cathedral yonder in Europe. And as I stood there looking upon that cathedral, that would have cost no telling how many millions of dollars now to build, my heart said, if great buildings and glorious architecture and elaborate appointments would do it, it would have been done here long, long ago. Now, what's this saying to us? I'm not saying one word about the nicest building you can build. Build it a little nicer if you can. However nice you've done it, do it better if you can. I'm for them. Except when you built it, just remember, it won't do the job. We've got to go to the people and bring the people to Jesus. The highways and the hedges, that's our working field. That's what this crusade's all about. We've got to go to the people. To break out of the routine and the ordinary and find the way into hearts. Something else about it making it urgent. And this must be said, though you know it, and it's been said already this evening. It's urgent because it is a summons to us to seek the anointing of the Holy Spirit in great, mighty power. Organization is excellent. Financing is necessary. All that we do in getting ready must be done. But when it's all done, all the power is not with North China. Not a church there open tonight, so far as I know. Many, many a Christian worker has suffered. But I look back yonder when my wife's father, who many of you knew and loved, was out there in the mid-30s and a little earlier, and others, some of whom were here in this audience maybe tonight, and the thing got so dry and dull and dead that they said, we had a feeling unless we got a new touch with God, we couldn't go on. Few people being saved, a low level of Christian living, few people being called to preach, the seminary almost dead. And then they began to pray. Not a prayer meeting alone, but all across that great North China area. Just praying and praying and praying. Frank Connolly told me I came to the church. The pastor came there morning by morning, morning by morning, and we just prayed. And John Abernathy said, I came to the church, and the pastor came, and we just prayed and prayed and prayed. And all across North China is that way. They prayed in the day, they prayed at night. After a while, the fire began to fall. You know, I guess there weren't any preachers who did the starring in the preaching. It was something strange about it. It was a moving of the Holy Spirit. And it just got hold of people and broke them up. And you know what they discovered? They discovered what you and I discover. And that is, it begins in us that we discover how terrible are our own sins. And we begin to see how miserable we ourselves are. We preachers, we missionaries, we leaders. That we have our sins and they've got to be overcome somehow by the grace of the Lord Jesus. And the fire sweeps on and on. Oh, what a change. God knew what was coming. Oh, the Japanese war was coming. The communist war was coming. God took care of his people. Oh, listen, friends, when we're going to have revival, something's got to happen. Deep inside, oh, that it might come about, that God's Holy Spirit might get hold of us. And then I want to say to you, this crusade is urgent because of what it can mean to the whole world. You see, it's not to stop right here. In the next 3 years, in 74 countries across this world, there are special crusades in evangelism underway to be achieved. 1970, it will be all of Africa. 1970, when we go again to the Far East, there will be revivals all over the Orient. Who knows what God will do? If we do it right in the power of God's Holy Spirit, who knows what God will do? Ah, my friends, across this world in land after land, there are little Baptist groups. And when they see God doing something and the fire falling, they say, let's see if God won't hear and answer our prayers too. And we're discovering that a new holy boldness is coming in this generation. And what is more, if we find ourselves caught up in this crusade and Southern Baptists really experience something, is going to turn us across the world where the whole world is our task like we've never done before. Oh yes, there'll be people then saying, we've made a good beginning, but we must go forward, go forward. We've talked about 5,000 missionaries. They would soon be attained and the resources would be available to send them and undergird them. Most of all, as we lay hand to this task, let us do it with confidence in what God can do. Do you really believe God could send a worldwide awakening? Do you really believe out there in that little land of Israel, they could look up and see a Messiah that they nailed on a cross one time. And they could begin to long for him. And a people turn to their Lord. Do you believe out yonder where they cry out there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet? And where they'll curse you for being a Christian dog if you dare to follow Jesus? Do you believe that could be something happen and turn among those millions of people? My dear friends, God has his times and his seasons. But who knows how much the acts of God may await the concern and the prayers and the dedication and the effort on the part of his people. And alas, oh alas, for our generation, should we come before our Lord and hear him say, I would have moved upon that broken world where the boys die in Vietnam, and where the Middle East is a powder keg, and where there's danger around the world, I would have moved upon it. But somehow, you didn't pray. And the vacuum that ought to have been removed by your prayers, so the mighty flash of the light of God's power could move through it, and the sound of God's moving could be heard. You didn't pray. You didn't care. You didn't labor. You didn't preach. Now, friends, with this I'm done. I'll talk to the preachers. Preachers, you're in two groups here tonight. Some of you are young men, launching your ministries with a dew of youth upon you and the zeal that is fresh and challenging. Some of you are men beyond the middle point who are looking already toward the sunset. What shall I say to us who belong in either group of ministers? I shall say tonight to young men, in the name of Jesus Christ, through you and your ministry, let God's word speak. Latch your ministry around the word of God. God's promise is upon his own word, not your opinions, not your philosophies, not your revisions, not your ideas, but upon the blessed word of the Lord Jesus. And in love and compassion, with a flaming fire, go forth to face your day, regardless of what anybody might say, whatever any groups might say, go forth letting your message and your wisdom be what God has given to us in his revelation, letting God's word speak. To those of us who are beyond the middle point, and the sunset is yonder, already beginning to make itself visible and break into the awareness, may I say, man of God, measure well your days, and may the rest of your time till the last beat of that heart and the last breath in your body and the last awareness of your soul, let your message and your ministry be all to the end of the way that Christ is the only hope for a broken world. This is a time to give ourselves afresh to Jesus Christ, our Savior, and to take advantage of this crusade to make a beginning to tell the world Jesus saves.
Just a brief announcement. There will be a prayer meeting at 8:30 tomorrow morning in the First Baptist Church. You would like to share in it, this is your invitation. Dr. C. Wade Freeman, director of the Division of Evangelism, had such a severe case of the flu that last Friday we doubted whether he'd be in any of the sessions. But as you've already noted, he's on the platform tonight. We're going to ask him to come for a word, and he will lead the closing prayer tonight. All right, Wade. So glad you can come.
Thank you, Doctor. My word is one of admonition. I would have you attend the wonderful service and the program tomorrow morning in the auditorium of the First Baptist Church. Some of you have never heard Harold Akinjee. We brought to you one of the greatest preachers in North America in his person. I promise you, preachers, if you will not keep your layman from the auditorium for fear that he will detect where you got some of your sermons, that Dr. Akinjee will steer clear of the published messages tomorrow morning and the rest of the time that he's to be with us. So have no fear. Bring your layman to that wonderful meeting tomorrow morning. Brother Akinjee, our own staff, Fred Swank, Charles Howard, C.E. Autry, and Joanne Shelton singing. I think we'll be ready for the rapture by noon tomorrow. You'll be in the auditorium of the First Baptist Church tomorrow morning, and don't fail to be in this prayer meeting at 8:30. And I can hardly wait until tomorrow night flu or no flu, I'm going to be here. If they have to bring me on a cot to the ambulance to the door and wheel me in here, I wouldn't miss that meeting tomorrow night. Think of it. The choir of the Sagamore Hill Baptist Church, Dr. Ockengay, Bob Harrington. Anybody ever heard him speak? Boy, don't you miss that. There's nobody on the earth like that fella. And then S.M. Lockridge, who's coming from California here, a gray-colored preacher, and one of the greatest preachers in all the world in that service tomorrow night. What wonderful things God has in store for us. Do you want me to have the prayer, Doctor? Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes for this moment of intercession before we go? Thou hast been good to us, and for that reason, based on the goodness of the Lord, we intercede for a double portion of thy Spirit to be upon us tomorrow morning when we come together in the auditorium of the First Baptist Church, and then to be with us again here tomorrow evening as we assemble. O God, we believe it to be within thy will, the scope of thy precious will, for us to pray for revival to come to our land. And Lord, if it can please thee to trust us with it, though we're not worthy, we promise thee that we'll be good custodians of it. We'll be good stewards of it. And we'll press it to the hearts of other believers across this nation and across the world. Bless our wonderful people that came in such large numbers tonight. Restore them to health and bring us together with a constant and continued expectancy in our hearts tomorrow and the other sessions of this great convocation we have together. In the blessed name of Jesus, we earnestly pray. Amen.